Hey, thanks for joining us this evening for another edition of Between the Notes, broadcasting live in the studios of 88.5 KRFY Panhandle Community Radio. I'm your host, Susie Prez. You can sit back, relax, and be inspired as you listen to this interview and some original songs from Desiree Aguirre and Fiddling Red from the duo called Roughshod. Welcome, Desiree, and welcome, Red.
Good to be here.
Thank you.
You have to get up to the microphone, Mr. Red. There you go. Maybe when you're playing your music, you can sit back a little bit more. They're here to share their ideas, insights, and a bit about their personal songwriting journey, opening up an exclusive window into their creative process behind their songs. So thanks for joining us this evening on Between the Notes. You're the musical duo known as Roughshod.
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's get to it. We want to talk about songwriting and your process for creating original music. And here you perform some of your songs live here in the studio. But first, let's start at the beginning. It's always a good place to start. Desiree, you are the songwriter of the pair. But as we know, and as you told me today, it takes two to tango. And you have said that Red helps put it all together. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, Red is, I met Red about 4 years ago when I started taking mandolin lessons with him. And basically, I played a little bit of guitar when I was 16 and stopped playing. So I basically had very limited skills. And I inherited a mandolin from my friend Drew. His family gifted it to me when he died. And that spring, my son had also died. So the mandolin, the gift of the mandolin, actually gave me a reason to get up out of bed. And for me, music is very, very healing. And playing the mandolin is a hard instrument for me, but it helped heal me. And so I met Red at 5 Minutes of Fame, and I started taking lessons with him. And I had an old banjo that I never learned to play, and I brought it to him. He fixed it for $5, handed it back to me, and said, "Now you're going to learn to play it, right?" And I fell in love with the banjo, and pretty soon I was taking backup guitar. And I've always been a writer, and it was kind of second nature to start putting my words to music. And Red has been my mentor the whole way. He gave me the tools. He gave me the key to the door.
So only 4 years ago, through all of this transition in your life, you picked up an instrument, connected with another musician, and took what you had already been doing, writing verse, lyrics, basically, and or words, and turned them into lyrics.
Right.
That started going with some of the music you heard, and I'm sure Red knew how to put that all together.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. And along the way, he taught me tons of tune, old-time music, and something about old-time music resonates with my soul. It's easy, it's accessible, and it's exciting. And so, I owe that all to Red.
Yeah, so your words went well with old-timey music?
Well, I hope so. I think they do.
Well, people seem to like it. You play around town a bunch, and you're well-known already at this early stage. Let's back up a little bit more. You just told us what your musical background. So as a child, you had no musical training?
I sang in the choir, and I come from circus, good old-fashioned circus stock. My great-great-grandfather was a snake caller, and all the kids performed. But basically, except for the guitar, which my parents gave me for my 16th birthday, which I cried when I got it, I did play a little bit of violin in the sixth grade, but I got yelled at for whistling Arkansas Traveler, and so I quit.
And you play a whole slew of instruments now. You just mentioned, was it a clawhammer banjo?
Yeah, I played clawhammer, and then recently Red showed me how to two-finger pick, which is also very old-timey, but mainly clawhammer. Red taught me backup guitar. And I'm still struggling with the mandolin and the fiddle. The dogs no longer howl when I play the fiddle, but it's definitely not performable. He gave me a hammer dulcimer, and I learned to play that. And recently I went to Mexico and I brought a little ukulele with me and fell in love with the ukulele. So now we've added that to the repertoire.
It sounds like music plays a big role in your life these days.
A huge role. It has, when in the initial stages of grief, it gave me a voice for my grief. It helped heal me. And now it's just a vital part of my life.
We're going to come back to delve deeper into the songwriting process, but first, with you. But first, Red, you're the flip coin of what Desiree just described. You've been playing forever.
Like, yes, my life's been one tune after another.
So tell us about your musical background, formal training. When did you start playing music?
Well, I tried a lot of things. In kindergarten, I tried tap dancing. The first grade, I tried the piano. In the fourth grade, I tried the trumpet. And then when I heard somebody finger-picking the guitar, I closed the case on my trumpet, never to open it again. And so I concentrated really hard on ragtime and blues finger-picking on the guitar. It was really my first love, and then which I still do, although it's seldom heard. And along the way, while I was in high school, I learned the fiddle and the banjo and the mandolin on my own. I took a few guitar lessons at first, but nobody knew what I wanted. I didn't have any teachers that knew what I wanted, so I started collecting old records in pawn shops and literally just listened to them and figured it out by ear. And in fact, all of my training was by ear.
So as a high school student, how did you know what you wanted? What were you listening to that made you say, I want to play like that?
I always have gone by my gut feeling. And when I heard someone finger pick the guitar, it just appealed to me. There's no explanation as to why. I think it's very mechanical and technical. And, finger picking on the guitar involves both a bass and a treble at the same time, interwoven in a beautiful way, matrix. Mm-hmm.
And again, what kind of music were you listening to? Let's see, was it folk music back
mm-hmm.
in?
I started with Peter, Paul, and Mary and Donovan and Dylan, and then worked backwards from there. Somebody says, oh, you should hear Elizabeth Cotton. And well, Elizabeth Cotton was an elderly woman who finger-picked in a much earlier style, much more complex than Peter, Paul, and Mary. Fell in love with that. And then I learned some Dave Von Ronk, ragtime finger-picking, and then began, once I had that down, that style. You can take a lot of tunes and turn them into rags. But I learned a lot of classical rags, like, the Maple Leaf Rag and a lot of those tunes. And I still play them and then learn some blues also. Blues can be interwoven with ragtime.
Mm-hmm. So ragtime was kind of the thing that caught you, a little bit of a hook musically.
Right.
And what about Doc Watson?
I play some Doc Watson also. Yes, he had actually, it's funny you bring him up because he had a big influence on me too.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. I can almost, mm-hmm. yeah, I can see that.
And everybody at the time when I started taking up the fiddle really thought it was a real loss because fiddle was not popular in the 60s. You were either an archy, an oaky, or a hillbilly, and only they played the fiddle. It was very unpopular. And then Byron Berline came out on the Stones album, Let It Bleed, and it was the first time you'd hear fiddle at all in popular music. And many years later, I got to be the opening band for Byron Berline's Country Gazette at McCabe's in Santa Monica. We got to be the opening. The Old Scratch Band was the name of my band in Southern California. We got to open for them.
So you grew up in Southern California?
Yes, mm-hmm. Fullerton's where I was born.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you formed a little band. So about what age were you when that band started performing around?
Yeah, the Old Scratch Band started playing at Sid's Blue Beat, Newport Beach, in about 1970 or 70, 71 probably, right around there. And oddly enough, when I moved to Sandpoint, Charlie Packard, Tom Newbill, all these guys had all performed at Sid's Blue Beat. So, and yet I never knew them until I moved here. And yet we all know similar people. It's kind of like when I moved to Sandpoint, it was like old home week.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How about the people that have that little music store down there? The Coates.
Dennis, also they played at Sid's Blue Bee. Mm-hmm. And actually, the guitar player on the old Scratch Band record album that we made in 72, he was mutual friend. He knew all of these people here in Sandpoint. So we were only one person away from knowing each other. Bob Sylvester was his name.
But before you came over to Sandpoint about 4 years ago or so, what was in between all that? Well, you moved up to Northeast Washington and had a lucrative career. Were you teaching music there too?
I worked at the House of Music in Colville for 25 years, and I taught and did all their musical instrument repair also.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I used to live over there, and like I said, I remember hearing you play, and I remember the House of Music over there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then what life changes brought you over here?
Yes.
And you love living here, and you have a little store.
I have my own music store. I've worked in many music stores besides the House of Music and never owned my own mm-hmm. store before. Now I have my own store.
And how does that feel?
Well, it's great because I get to run it the way I want to.
Finally.
And then Desiree does all of my computer work for me.
All right.
And I'm computer illiterate, so it's a big help.
Bookkeeping, too?
No, I do my own bookkeeping. Oh, okay. Well, most of it, anyway.
And you teach?
Yes, I still teach music. And I teach a fiddle, banjo, mandolin, and guitar, and do tons of instrument repair, and also repair all the band instruments for the school systems and rent and sell them.
Well, how lucky are we to have you move over here?
Well, thank you.
Because
pretty lucky.
Yeah, pretty lucky. Okay, so then you met, as you said, about 4 years ago at Cafe Bodega's open mic, mm-hmm. 5 Minutes of Fame. And it all started, when I think about songwriting, it is the lyrics, but it is also the music. And I'm hearing that it's a total collaboration here. You bring an idea, and you probably, now that you're playing Desiree, that now that you're playing so many instruments and have taken up music playing, you're probably finding the melody lines and the rhythm and mm-hmm. stuff like that yourself.
Oh, yeah. The words... Most always the words come first, and I'll sleep on them and go through them and sit on them and sit on them. And then magically a tune will come into my head, and I don't really read music, so I'm really lucky. I have a little Mac computer with GarageBand. Boom. Right away I record it. And then I work around the words. I carve them. You know, I edit them and make them fit. And then I figure, I'm getting better at this. Reg used to always have to help me figure out what key it was in. Then I figure out what key it's in, and then I decide what instrument I want to play it on. And then I bring Red in. And he's like, it'll take me 2 weeks or something. He'll come in, and I'll, look, I got this new song, and I'll play it. And he'll go, oh, that's a fiddle tune. And he'll grab the fiddle, and boom, he nails it, which is really amazing. And he also helps. Sometimes I'm short a word, or I can't figure something out, and he's a real detail guy. So he'll say, we'll try this, or a song that we're working on right now, The Gift of the Mandolin. He's like, well, I think we need to add this. Mm-hmm. And he threw in some chord changes that really pulls it together and makes it work.
Kind of, there's a word for that, kind of produces it a little bit, but stays within the musical part of producing.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. the polisher.
The polisher. Well, I don't like to go too far into these interviews without hearing some live music, because that's the fun part also. Mm-hmm. We're very interested in your process and backgrounds and things like that. So we'd love to hear a song, if you can tell us how it came about. This is an original song put together by Roughshod here, Fiddlin' Red and Desiree Aguirre. So tell us about it, and then let's hear it.
Okay, well, this is one of my first songs, and needless to say, it's about grief. And what happened was, when I first started performing, I'd be so hit with stage fright that I felt like I couldn't breathe, blah, blah, blah. The song we had practiced over and over and over, it just went away. And then afterwards, Red would say, it's okay, you never have to do this again. You did great, it happens to everybody, and then he'd take me out to dinner. And this one particular show, I went home, and I was devastated because I really, really blew it. And he ended up like C, D, whispering the chord changes to me so I could do it. And I felt like I had let him down. And I came home, and then these words, I had to think about what music meant to me. And then I came up with the melody and wrote this song. And it just impressed upon me that I was never going to give up, that I would keep trying, and that knowing that Red always had my back. And so let me grab my
guitar. And the name of the
guitar.
Song?
The name of the song is An Empty Room.
Probably have a little tuning up here, and we are in the studios of KRFY 88.5, and this is Between the Notes, a show about music and songs. And here is Roughshod.
He's the master tuner, too.
Yeah. What was the name of the song again?
The name of the song is Empty Room, okay. In an Empty Room.
It's always nice to have somebody to hand your guitar to and say, thank you for tuning it, right?
Yeah, I used to really embarrass me, and usually I have a snark with me, and then I can do and I got this from Fiddlin' Reds, but I don't have one, so I just hand it to him, and he tunes it by ear.
He tunes it by ear. I admire that. That's for
sure. So do I. Now I'm just grateful for it.
That's a cool little guitar. Let's talk about your guitar.
That is our second Christmas together. This was my Christmas present. It is a Washburn remake of the Parlor guitar. It's pretty.
Very.
And it's got great tone. And it's I have small hands, so it works really well for me. Thank you.
Empty Rooms by Roughshod. Sweet. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. That's Empty Rooms, and this is Roughshod. And you're listening to Between the Notes right here on 88.5 KRFY. I was just thinking when I was listening to that, I know when I hear old-timey music that it's old-timey music. But what makes it old-timey music? How do you create it if you are an old-timey player? Or how would you describe it?
When I was in Southern California, I used to go to the San Diego folk festivals, and I got to meet all these old-timers who are mostly gone now. And Ray and Ina Patterson were there, and his mandolin, she played guitar, and he played the mandolin, and they had these beautiful harmonies, and he played the most delicate, most beautiful mandolin, and all very old-timey. So this is clear back in the late 60s and early 70s. And so I listened to these recordings over and over and over again, and I think it just sort of got into my blood, you know. And so with Desiree, the first thing that she learned from me was strictly old-time music. So she's been kind of born and bred with old-time music in her blood. And so when she began writing music, it followed that feeling. And yes, the song that she just sang sounds very old-timey. And
I would say there's no bass, not a lot of the rhythm comes from the strumming of the instruments. It's usually stringed instruments. And that space in between the lyrics where you're picking out the melody, the breaks.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what creates that sound. Mm-hmm. And that delicate sound, as you said, distinguishes it in some way, shape, or form.
Well, I had a lot of great mentors myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Me too.
Sitting right here with you. So who are some of your teachers, Red?
Well, Kenny Hall was a fabulous mandolin player, although he also played the banjo and the guitar, and he's blind. And he knows so many tunes, and he played strictly old-time music. Back then, I hear he's still alive and still traveling around, but he must be very elderly. He was a great influence on me. I also was lucky to have known Earl Collins, who was today he's very famous amongst folk musicians, although most people never met him, but I knew him personally, and he was a fabulous Missouri old-time fiddle player. He had a big influence on me. Also, Charlie Pryor of the Oklahoma Boys, I also knew him. He lived in my hometown, and he was my first. Neither of them were instructors. I would just go to their home and make friends with them, and they would play for me, and I'd tape record them and then take the tapes home and pick it up by ear.
So they were a complete inspiration.
Yes.
And something you could work towards. So in other words, you didn't get really good at what you're doing really quickly. I mean, you worked hard to get...
I worked hard.
Yeah, as a teenager.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And now we know that so many kids are playing music out there, learning classical music, maybe taking fiddle from you, and they're getting a jump start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really fun to see them at music festivals just fiddling away or playing some other instrument and singing.
I have students all the way down to 4 years old.
4 years
old. And all the way up into the 70s and 80s,
uh-huh.
All ages.
We all want to play music. Mm-hmm. It's a great thing. So, let's see. I wanted to get back a little bit to the songwriting. That was a very heartfelt song. It was inspired by things in your life that came about. What other kind of subjects have you found, and what things spark that, oh, there's a song. Oh, there, that thought I'm going to take a little further and turn it into a song. I see myself doing that. How does that very first, you said you wake up with words or something in your head and you've been writing for a while.
I keep a notebook by my bed. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night and I'll scribble. Sometimes in the morning I can't read it. I belong to the Monday Writers Group, which I go to faithfully every week, and we write to prompts. And a lot of my banjo songs are actually written from prompts. Now, the advantage of going to with a group of creative women is things fly around and go different directions. You never know where the prompt is going to take you. But if you let go and follow what I like to call my muse, sometimes really cool things can happen. And I also, I'm kind of a pack rat with words, and luckily, I have a computer. I save everything. And I also write a blog specifically for bereaved parents, and a lot of the material I pull from things I wrote 7-8 years ago. So you never know, I never know when it's going to hit me. And sometimes there's songs that I've played around with at the writers group and thought, oh, this is definitely a throwaway. I never put anything in the trash. And the ladies, the girls, were like, no, that sounds like a beautiful little Irish tune. And so eventually I did turn it into a pretty little Irish tune. So I'm my own worst critic.
Mm-hmm.
and I really have to step back and get out of the way. I've had songs that I've played with and written, and then I thought, oh, this is horrible, and I put it away. And then when I pull it back up and re-listen to it, it's like, well, that's not so bad. You could work on it some more. And it is, it's a process, and it's, I'm passionate about it, so it's not work, but I have to work at it.
Well, it's putting in the time. It's caring for something. Time. It's like knitting a sweater. Oh, it's not
it's
like
a lot
knitting
funner
a sweater,
than
but it takes time, and you have to give it attention, we'll say. Mm-hmm. But back to the thought of the subject matter, you know, they say that 98% of songs are about love and romance, but, you know, you've written songs about other things. And I forget who it was interviewing a while ago. Most of their songs were about the environment or just everyday things. You know, it could be about dinner or something. But so where do you get your inspiration? You know, it comes at different ways, and you write it down and you catch it and you grab it. But the subject matter.
The subject matter, a lot of it is life experience, like grief. Or things I'm passionate about, like the Sandpoint Coltrane, or love. I've read a couple anniversary songs because Patrice Webb does that, and apparently Dave Gunter does it too. And so that's not an uncommon thing. I have these role models I look up to. I've written about some really gnarly subjects. I've written about rape. I've written about mental illness. So it really has to be, and then I've written funny songs that are, I think might be totally nonsensical. Those are always banjo tunes, but they're fun and they make people laugh. I think songs should run the full gamut of emotions. I think it's important that people be able to cry. I think it's important that they be able to laugh, and I hope that at least some of my songs hit those marks.
It sounds like it. I think it's time for another song, though. It'd be fun if you want to explain how it came about and tell us a name and tune up.
Matter of Perspective.
Okay.
This is the Pretty Little Irish tune that started as a prompt in my writing group. And I believe the prompt was, it's a matter of perspective, a matter of perspective.
I was hoping that would be the song you were going to choose, a Pretty Little Irish tune.
So let me get on the right chord here. It's a matter of perception. Yellow roses, cloud, my sky. The scent falls closely, but even roses cry. Teardrops soak the soil, softening my skin. Rain clouds gather strength. Thank you.
That was Roughshod with Matter of Perception. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was saying it wrong.
I came up with a couple thoughts here, you guys. Old-timey music is dance tunes. It's really great music to dance to. So when you're performing out there, do you find people get up and start dancing?
We played the market this Saturday, and there was a girl who got up and started doing the Irish jig. She was fabulous, and she was, how old do you think she was? Between 15 and 20, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
And then what was really great is the little babies started copying her, right? So she's standing up front doing all this, the stepping and everything, and then there's these little kids, like little goslings, surrounding her, imitating her. It was hard to concentrate on playing the music because we were having so much fun watching the dancers.
And that's another description I would have for this kind of music. It's just fun. I mean, the words could be heartfelt. I would say the voice, especially your voice, Desiree, really has a level of honesty to it. It takes the words to a different place. It's not real melodic, but they bring a sense of clarity to the words in a different way. And I do see how it fits in. I'm sure that's what you heard the first time you heard her sing. Right, Red?
Sure.
Yeah, you knew it was old-timey music. That kind of, let's tell a story and here it is kind of stuff. So again, I wanted to say you perform quite a bit in various venues and the farmers market you just mentioned. Do you have any favorite kind of venues to perform at? Or events or shows that...
Well, the Saturday market's one of my favorites.
Okay.
Because of the wonderful audience participation. It's kind of relaxed. People come and go. And we're the only thing making sound. So we're not competing with a noisy crowd or anything like that. And the music travels and lots of people get to sit on the lawn and watch us. And that's one of my favorite gigs, really.
Well, that's good to know.
We like playing at Monarch Coffee, too. It's mm-hmm. a real listening crowd.
A listening crowd.
So that's what I prefer anymore, is a listening crowd.
Mm-hmm. House concerts are really nice for that because people are there and they're listening to the music and just they have, you know, you have their attention and they appreciate.
The second Thursday of June, we're doing a house concert at the Monarch Coffee.
Okay. Mm-hmm. That's really fun. A couple of more serious questions. We'll hear another tune, and then we'll say adieu. I'd like to hear that from both of you on this. Where do you think music comes from?
I can say that it's magical. It's universal. The other day at the writing group, a little kid came in and was making, I mean, we're talking 2-3 year old, and was making up a song with lyrics. We couldn't quite understand what they were saying on the spot. So where does it come from? I think it's part of who we are.
That's a good answer.
From the soul.
From the soul. That's your answer.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Okay. And why do you write music?
I am compelled. It provides me with a voice. It heals my soul. It evokes laughter and tears, and it breaks me out of my negative spaces or bad moods. So I'm better off writing music than, say, sleeping in bed all day.
And Red, you know, why do you either write songs or just play music?
And of course, I'm not a songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a really good copycat.
Mm-hmm.
I've been copying old timers my whole life. And it's a joy to work with Desiree in enhancing the songs that she has written.
Mm-hmm.
It's my joy to do that.
And what about, so you play music because you love it? I guess you've already said that.
Sure.
Yeah. Well, let's hear another song and just tell us a little bit about it, if you're willing. Do you have another one thought out?
You want to do the anniversary song.
Okay.
Or do you want to do Moon Fiddler? And you can play the fiddle.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear the fiddle. That'd be fun. Although that mandolin playing is pretty special.
Thank you.
He's pretty smoking hot.
Yeah.
And I think I've played this tune three times, so we'll do the best I can.
I always do this tune. It's going to be loud.
Okay. What's the name of it again?
This is called Moon Fiddler.
And this is Roughshod with Moon Fiddler.
My lover.
Played by Fiddlin' Red and Desiree Aguirre, right here on Between the Notes. And thank you so much for coming in and sharing a little bit about your lives and your music, which is really cool.
Our pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah, thanks really for fun. Having us.
Yeah, we're going to go out. We're going to hear a song that you wrote, Desiree, called Sandpoint Coltranes. But before we do, I just want to say thanks again. And thank you to our listeners for joining us this evening for Between the Notes. I'll be taking a break for about 3 to 4 weeks, but I will be back towards the end of June. So you can check the KRFY.org website to find out who my guests will be and when I'll be back. This edition of Between the Notes is available at the KRFY.org website as a podcast for your future listening pleasure. And I want to thank Dave Hussey for my theme song. And coming up next, Jack Peterson is back from, what was it you were doing over there, Jack?
Trivia
at McDuff's and with the local music show. And we'll be playing some of the some music that's coming up anyways. Stay tuned. And this song, tell us a little bit about it, Desiree.
Well, the Sandpoint Coltrane, when I first started writing songs, Red suggested that I use tunes, traditional tunes, so it's based on an Uncle Dave Macon tune. And he said, you know, you should change that to the Sandpoint Coltrane. And so I rewrote the lyrics, and that's what it came out.
Okay.
It's a protest song.
And it should, as it should be. Again, thank you. Here's an original song by Roughshod with a traditional music background. Thank you, Red. And thanks, Desiree.
Thanks for having us.
Mm-hmm.
The people of Sandpoint want to know who wrecked our gravy train. The one we thought ran so well, and now who can we blame? We want to know who greased the tracks and started us down this road on the same old train that's already hauling coal from Montana. So now we're up against it, and no use to raise a row. Of all the times I've ever seen, we're sure up against it now. The only thing that we can do is to do the best we can. Follow me, good people, I'm bound for the promised land. Now I could be a banker with a thousand good excuse, but look at the treasury of Sandpoint and tell me what's the use. They doubled my property taxes while the land value's in the mud. Foreclosures dot the town and the roads have turned to crud. The coal dust will fill the air and settle on our lake, and all those trains will rattle by at an alarming rate. My nostrils will block it with coal, my pores will clog up too. Why can't they just cover up or divert it to Timbuktu? So now we're up against it and no use to raise a row. Of all the times I've ever seen, we're sure up against it now. The only thing that we can do is to do the best we can. Follow me, good people, I'm bound for the promised land. Some blame it on the parties, some blame it on others, you see. But now that we can plainly see what happened to Sandpointy, the engineer pulled the throttle, the conductor rang the bell, the brakeman hollered, all aboard, and the banks all went to hell. So now we're up against it, and no use to raise a row. Of all the times I've ever seen, we're sure up against it now. The only thing that we can do is to do the best we can. Follow me, good people, I'm bound for the promised land.